He'll say they're just wandering aimlessly. That's what Pharaoh thought. And what a fool Pharaoh is. He so quickly forgets that Yahweh is with Israel. I mean, he's been humbled, you would think. He's been all the way down to where the firstborn were dead, and he said, okay, get out of here. And they plundered Egypt and left. But he starts to evaluate it in his natural, twisted, sin-depraved mind, and he starts to think they're just wandering aimlessly. Thus, verse 4, I will harden Pharaoh's heart.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue our series through the book of Exodus. Pastor Scott brings a message titled, Confronted by the Red Sea. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
Take your Bible tonight, and when I think of it, I rejoice that we do take an English Bible, how much we take for granted. But turn to Exodus 14. And chapter 13 of Exodus, you remember, he said, sanctify the firstborn to me. Set them apart to me. And the New Testament truth comes to my mind. Having concluded this, that one died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. That is the Christian life in a nutshell. When you really understand the love of Christ, I'm quoting 2 Corinthians 5, the love of Christ controls us. And it concludes this. If you really see what he's done for us, you say, he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. And that's really what Exodus 13 was about. The Passover lamb had been slain. The firstborn were spared. The Lord had protected them, and they were to be set apart to the Lord. They were to live for him. Now, chapter 14, you come to the crossing of the Red Sea. And I'll tell you, this is the event of deliverance in the Old Testament. There are many deliverances in the Old Testament, and so many of them add flavor and color to our understanding of what took place at the cross. In fact, each of them do. When the Lord delivers, it's a lesson for us in what he's done for us and the deliverance we have in Christ at the cross. But the Red Sea kind of stands out as the event. And 40 years later, I think about this, 40 years later, the enemies of Israel, and you don't need to turn there, just listen to this, when Joshua was leading them into the land, they said, we've heard how the Lord has given you, or dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt. We've heard, they said. And what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And when we heard it, when we heard what the Lord did, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord, your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. We've heard. Our hearts have melted. And of course, that was spoken by one who, I say the enemies of Israel, but one who became their friend, Rahab, and who ended up in the hall of faith as she realized he is the Lord. Yahweh is the God of heaven and earth. And so this crossing of the Red Sea, and you know, centuries later, the Israelites still referred back to this, and how many more centuries we're still enjoying it tonight as we think about it. So keep that in mind. The chapter 13 closed with the Lord, verse 21, going before them in a pillar of cloud. The Lord's perfect guidance. He didn't take them the short route to Palestine, to the promised land. He took them a different route, we saw. And we'll pick it up there at verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, tell the sons of Israel to turn back and camp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. You shall camp in front of Baal-Zephon, opposite it by the sea. God's guidance wasn't to take Israel the quick route, the military route, but rather come around, and here they confronted the Red Sea. And it might seem that his guidance brought them into a crisis. And in fact, Pharaoh, verse 3, he said, Pharaoh will say of the sons of Israel, they're wandering aimlessly in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. Aimless wandering. That's what Pharaoh thought. He is the quintessential unbeliever. And the unregenerate heart, when we're led by Christ, when we're led by the Lord, and when we walk in the light of His Word, the unbeliever's evaluation of our life is often just that. And the Lord knows it. The Lord's the one that said, this is what He's going to say. He'll say, they're just wandering aimlessly. That's what Pharaoh thought. And what a fool Pharaoh is. He so quickly forgets that Yahweh is with Israel. I mean, he's been humbled, you would think. He's been all the way down to where the firstborn were dead, and he said, okay, get out of here. And they plundered Egypt and left. But he starts to evaluate it in his natural, twisted, sin-depraved mind, and he starts to think, they're just wandering aimlessly. Thus, verse 4, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after them, and I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. And they did so. The Lord is going to be honored through Pharaoh and his army, and the Egyptians will know, and many other nations will know. Rahab will know. And tonight we can know that He is the Lord indeed. Now, when the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his servants had a change of heart toward the people. And they said, what is this we've done? That we've let Israel go from serving us. What got into our minds? So he made his chariot ready and took his people with him, and he took 600 select chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he chased after the sons of Israel as the sons of Israel were going out boldly. Then the Egyptians chased after them with all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and they overtook them camping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth in front of Baal-Zephon. So just like the Lord had said, that's what happened. He said, what in the world have we done? We let all this slave labor get out of here? Let's go get them. And so he got all his army, and we can't imagine, I mean, how majestic this must have looked to get all those chariots and that great army amassed and to take off after these people that had no military training, had been 400 years in slavery, and were out there with women and children helpless and backed up against the sea. But Pharaoh, with his hardened heart, takes off after them. And I'll just, since this is the last time we're going to see Pharaoh, it's kind of nice to think about. And all the enemies of God's people will ultimately end up where Pharaoh ended up. I think it's good to remember, you know, the Lord said when he first told Moses, and we've tracked it through, but he said, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. And he predicted that twice. And then, I think it's seven times, we read, Pharaoh hardened his heart, or his heart was hardened. And finally, turn over back to chapter 9 one more time. Chapter 9, verse 12, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not listen to them just as the Lord had spoken to Moses. It happened just the way the Lord had said, and he didn't listen to them just as the Lord had said to Moses. And the Lord said to Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say, thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For this time I will send all my plagues on you and on your servants and your people, so that you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. For if by now I had put forth my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, you would have been cut off from the earth. But indeed for this cause I've allowed you to remain, in order to show you my power and in order to proclaim my name through all the earth. That's a little bit expanded statement of what you have in verse 4 of our text here. I will be honored through Pharaoh. Well, we know that. They had been told that. Moses had been told that. But just the same, here comes this mighty army. And they're pinned up against the sea. Verse 10, as Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became very frightened. Can you blame them? I mean, haven't you ever felt that way? Haven't you ever felt completely surrounded? And in front of you, there's no place to go, and you look behind, and there's an enemy. And it's easy to feel that way. Circumstances can hem you in. And sometimes it's hardest when those circumstances seem to be, and in fact perhaps are, the result of following the Lord. The Israelites are doing what the Lord said. They're going where he told them. He's taking them with the pillar of cloud and fire. They're right where they should be, but it doesn't seem like it. They're in a jam. And when you look at your circumstances, it's very easy to become, as they are, verse 10, very frightened. It's depressing. You look at your foes, it's frightening. You look at your own resources, it's discouraging. What are we going to do? How many chariots do we have here? I didn't have any. They're pinned in. You know, to the degree that you look at your circumstances, your enemies, or your own resources, you'll be frightened, discouraged, depressed. And I guarantee you, this week, some of us will face situations where we will be tempted to look at our own resources, to look at our circumstances, and just to be looking this way and that way, and forget to look upward. And when we don't look upward, it can become frightening, very frightening, and they were very frightened. I think about Peter when he saw the Lord out on the water, and he said, Lord, If you'd call me, I could come, remember? And so the Lord said, come. And so he did. And he was doing what the Lord said to do, come. And he was walking on the water. But then he began looking, and he saw the wind, we read. And immediately he was in real trouble, began to sink. And he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord rebuked him for his lack of faith, remember, and dealt with him. But the Israelites here are very frightened. So, look at the end of verse 10. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. But I would have to tell you that it isn't Peter-like at this point. They're not crying out to the Lord with a cry of faith. They're crying out to the Lord, but they're not crying out in a way that we would want to emulate. Turn over to the 106th Psalm, Psalm 106. One of the things about Israel's history, and it was written for our instruction, and one of the things about our own history, and we should be careful when we give testimonial, when we look back at our life. You know, I think the more we walk with the Lord, the more we'll see that to God be the glory, great things he has done. And don't tell your story that in a way that honors yourself. Tell it in a way that honors the Lord, because that's the only accurate way to tell it, really. And when Israel would look back, you know, they wouldn't say, boy, I remember we cried out to the Lord like we should have. No, in fact, verse 6, Psalm 106, we have sinned like our fathers. We've committed iniquity. We've behaved wickedly. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand thy wonders. They didn't remember thine abundant kindnesses, but rebelled by the sea at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for the sake of his name, that he might make his power known. Thus he rebuked the Red Sea, and it dried up. And he led them through the deeps as through the wilderness. So he saved them from the hand of the one who hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy, and the waters covered their adversaries. Not one of them was left. Then they believed his words, and they sang his praise. We've sinned just like our fathers did. And when they looked back at it, they said, they forgot. They didn't remember. They didn't understand his mighty arm in delivering them. And they rebelled at the sea, but he saved them anyway. He dried up the Red Sea and saved them, not for their sake as such, but notice, for the sake of his name, that he might make known his power. And you know, that's the way it'll be at the end of history and the end of my personal history, your personal history. We won't be crowing about what we've done or haven't done, or, you know, what... Now we'll be saying, praise God for his grace in our lives. So they cried out, but I don't think it was the cry of faith. In fact, we don't have to speculate. Verse 11, back in our text, they said to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. But Pharaoh, the quintessential unbeliever, he was very forgetful. But you know, God's people can be very forgetful too. How quickly they're ready to say, what did you bring us out here for? Couldn't we just die? We could live back there. In fact, isn't this what we told you? You can see how soft their heart was right along, and what Moses dealt with in leading this people. This is what we told you back in Egypt. Leave us alone, that we might serve the Egyptians. Even believers can be very forgetful. And Israel, here, a picture of God's people, very, very forgetful. But Moses said to the people, verse 13, do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. I want us to just stop and ponder that for a minute, because there are many, many pictures in the Old Testament of God's ultimate salvation through Christ and the deliverance we have, the salvation we have. But the Red Sea is right up there at the top of the list. And notice what Israel was to do. Look at verse 13. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord. Don't fear. The Lord will do the fighting. Stand by. Salvation is of the Lord. Did you see it there, verse 13? Watch the salvation of the Lord. Just stand by and see what he will accomplish. You know, the very first lesson in redemption, the very first step in coming to Christ and beginning the walk of faith is to stand by and see, to just watch, to realize you don't have anything to do here. He did it. Take a look. And of course, he's going to show them. They're helpless. What can they do? Somebody says, well, they have to do their part. They don't have any part to play. Just stand still. Just be there and watch. Just see the Lord's deliverance. Time after time in the Old Testament, this is true. Turn over to 2 Chronicles for just a second. 2 Chronicles 20. You remember when the army amassed against Israel under Jehoshaphat? They were no match for the armies. A bunch of nations came against them. Moab, Ammonites, the Munites. They allied against them, and a great multitude out of Syria. And, you know, The surrounding peoples, just as it is today, by the way, were amassed against God's people. And the godly king Jehoshaphat, he was afraid. He was afraid. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3. Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention to seek the Lord. He looked around and he was afraid, and then he looked up and he turned his attention to seek the Lord. And I won't go into all the details, but he basically said, you want to read what he said? Look at verse 12. Here's his assessment of the thing. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us. Nor do we know what to do. We're absolutely powerless, and we don't have any ideas. We don't know what to do. But our eyes are on thee. And I can't help but mention that when a godly leader speaks that way, why, all Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants, their wives, and their children. He represented the nation, and they said, our eyes are on thee, the king said. We don't know what to do. And the deliverance was great indeed. Verse 14, a prophet spoke up. God moved on a prophet, and the word of the Lord came, and he said, verse 15, listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. He almost says the exact same thing that the Lord spoke through Moses. Verse 17, you need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves, stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out to face them, for the Lord is with you. And you remember the story, and if you don't, read it tonight at home. They sent the choir out to lead the charge. And God worked a mighty deliverance. In verse 27, every man of Judah and Jerusalem returned with Jehoshaphat at their head, returning to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with harps, lyres, and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the dread of God was on all the kingdoms of the lands when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Glance over to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. You remember when David faced insurmountable enemy, Goliath, with all his armor, with all his arrogance, with all his size and might, and the Philistines just showing down the Israelites. And young David said, 1 Samuel 17, verse 37, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled, Confronted by the Red Sea, a message from our series through the book of Exodus. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. We're excited here at Southwest Bible Church to be able to offer the community what we're calling SW Kids Spring Learning Groups. These learning groups are for children in grades 1st through 5th who are currently enrolled in an online or hybrid school program. Each day includes scheduled schoolwork time, a study from the Bible, breaks, recess, and a special activity once a week. Spring learning groups meet on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday from 8:30 a.m. to 2:45 p.m. For more information, go to our website, swkids@swbible.org, or give the church a call at 503-524-7000. If you don't have a church home in the area, Pastor Scott would love to invite you to join us for our live online Sunday worship service at Southwest Bible Church. That's each Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 a.m. You can find us live on YouTube by searching for SW Bible Live, or go to swbible.org and click on Live Stream. We also broadcast the service live on the radio on True Talk 800 AM. It's best to check the 800 AM program guide for up-to-the-minute schedule adjustments. Downtown Bible only remains on the air through the generous contributions of listeners like you. We'd like to ask you to prayerfully consider partnering with us on a regular basis to help us meet our day-to-day expenses. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
David said, "You come with all your armor and your might. I come in the name of the Lord." The battle isn't mine, it's the Lord's. And we need to internalize that great truth. Now, you know, you look back and think about the Exodus, and he just said, now I know, and someone's quick to say, well, there was something for them to do. By faith, they were to cross the Red Sea, yes. Next week we'll look, and he says, he doesn't just say stand still, he says, now go forward. And they were to march right into the water, and the water parted for them. But the first thing and the foremost thing that they learned is that they didn't have any part to play, really. The Lord did it all.
Join us again next time as we continue our series through the book of Exodus. Pastor Scott brings part two of the message titled, Confronted by the Red Sea. Till then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.